stand to my feet now because Queen. Do I need to stand up now? And there you go.
God bless, God bless, God bless.
Well, God bless you all.
Yes, yes.
We thank God for March.
March. March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb, or comes in like a lamb and goes out like a lion.
Like a lion.
And I think today, I think we got the lion.
We got the lion. We got the lion. It's pretty cold.
Yeah, it is cold.
Yeah.
That March wind.
Yeah, it is.
And you can always tell that when it's starting to change.
It was the the crisp in the air.
Yeah,
we had a couple of warm days, but it was windy, and that wind was just killed us.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back to Chatting with the Clay.
Season 6, episode 11.
11.
Okay.
Not 11.
Enough 11. For driving. 11.
Yeah.
All right. And how are you today?
I'm wonderful. I'm really excited because Choco Tacos are coming back this summer.
Oh, boy. Did that deacon of yours give you that?
No. Let me see. Taco Bell and Salt and Straw partnered up. They're giving it to
who,
me.
Who is it?
Salt and Straw and Taco Bell.
I never heard of that.
Salt and Straw ice cream.
Oh, no.
I don't know. They partnered with Klondike because, you know, Choco Tacos are Klondike bars. Whatever. And I am so excited. There was enough people that cried like me to make them bring them back. Whatever. Now, they better not. One thing they better not do, they better not make them smaller because they already made them smaller. And they better not change the recipe. That's a lot of times when they bring stuff back, they'll do that. So, I cross my fingers.
And you really excited?
I am. Oh, it said it was discontinued after 40 years in July 2022, and that just hurt my whole heart. Because sometimes I would just go to Taco Bell just for that. You know, it wasn't necessarily for the food, but it was with a Choco Taco.
Okay.
But anyway, I guess it's Choco Taco, not Choco Taco, but it's Choco Taco. So I'm excited about that. That's the chatter in the news for me today. So you know what? Nothing else matters. It's St. Patrick's Day today and all that kind of stuff. But I do have some interesting history. My great-grandfather on my maternal side.
Okay, hold on.
My great-grandfather on my maternal side.
Okay.
So my mom's mother's father.
Your mom's mother's
was Irish.
Father, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
His name was Charles Weaver.
Yeah.
And he was an Irish man. He had red hair and gray eyes.
That's where all of the Weaver sisters got that from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he was. And the thing that even proves it even more, because you know how things are passed down through the family, and then sometimes you find out, oh, that wasn't really true. Because I'm on Ancestry.com. You know, my son, one of our son. Okay, I shouldn't say my son. Right?
Well, he is. Okay. They are your sons. As a matter of fact.
But anyway, got me the Ancestry.com for Christmas 1 year, and I have kept it since. I've kept it up. And it is really fun. But in doing because I did the DNA part, too. And it's true that Grandpa Weaver was an Irishman. And also on my father's side, the Dawson side, Dawson is Irish as well. I didn't find any Irish, but the name Dawson is Irish too. So when we were younger in school, because I was always told that about great Grandpa Weaver. And, you know, I went to a predominantly white school, and I was the only student of color in my class from third grade to sixth grade. And so on St. Patrick's Day, you know, when everybody would wear green, I would always say, I don't have to wear green because I'm Irish, you know, and they would look like, no kid, ain't I? But anyway, so that's funny. I don't have to wear green because I'm Irish. So you don't want to get pinched. So you have to wear green.
So that's what that was all
that's
about.
That's why you got green on today. You got green crosses, green piping. You got green crosses.
Well, that was Calvary. There was some green vegetation. So. But you said something. I never understood when we was coming up why they pinched people.
You know what? I'll have to look that up because
I didn't.
You know, I didn't know why either. They pinch you
if you don't have green on.
If you didn't have green.
But I think you just said it. If you wasn't Irish, then you get pinched for.
Yeah, but I don't even know what started the pinch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, look at that. Isn't that beautiful?
No. All right.
This is beautiful, everyone. Look.
Yes.
Taco. Yes. I can't wait.
First lady.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That's the child in me, I guess.
That's good. That's good.
Green makes you invisible to leprechauns.
Oh, green makes you invisible to leprechauns. So if you're Irish, then you're already invisible to leprechauns. Leprechauns are Irish, right? Yeah. Aren't they Irish?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, but the last movie I saw was Leprechauns. Them little jokers was they were demonic. Oh my goodness.
Well, and yes, this is Chatting with the Clay, so yes, so yeah.
But anyway, let me finish. Let me pick it back up about my Choco Taco. So it said the new version will include a hand-pressed waffle cone filled with cinnamon ancho ice cream dipped in chocolate and topped with toasted brown rice, salt, and straw, said in an Instagram post. The new Choco Taco will be served with custom sauce packets, including chocolate chili. Now they're messing it up.
Good.
We just need the original. Chocolate chili, cinnamon, wild berry, and mango jalapeno. The treat will also come with cheesecake dip. Okay, the old version was also made with a waffle cone. I know, that's why I really like it. But it had vanilla ice cream with chocolate swirls and was dipped in chocolate and topped with peanut pieces. Yes, that's what made it. That's why I liked it. But anyway, so see, that's why I said they just mess up stuff.
Well, you know, it's consistent with so many other things. When you really have a taste for something and you remember, even from your childhood, you know, and when you see it and you go get it, it's like, you know, now, I mean, and I know we have another topic, but the thing that stands out to me that I cannot find anywhere, I really need it, the banana flips.
Oh, yeah. But those were good.
They were. I don't know if you remember the banana flips. They were they were
I'm gonna have to Google them because I don't know.
They were the oversized Twinkie.
Yeah.
But it was a banana filling.
They're called banana dream.
But I don't think Hostess didn't make those, did they? Hostess that made the banana flip?
Man.
It looks like there's a Nichols banana flip and then there's a Hostess banana dream.
No, well, banana flip is the one because it seemed like Hostess did not make the banana flip. Nichols.
No, Nichols. I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't a big. You know what?
I don't know, but see, that's what I remember coming up.
See, this is the thing about when I'm. Oh, I can't get up.
No,
can I?
No.
See, this thing is sitting back here again. This is the thing when I can't get in here before we start.
That's what I remember. That's what I remember coming up. And it has such a banana flavor to it. It was, and you know, it wasn't.
It really was.
It wasn't artificial.
No,
it was
really banana-y.
Yeah.
So it was really banana-y.
And you can't, so some stuff that you was coming up with as you was younger.
And then they did a chocolate flip later. Yeah. And it was good, but
it wasn't
banana flip. You know? Yeah. So anyway, that was my chatter in the news today. That was exciting to me. I was so glad. Yeah. So that was my big announcement today. Choco Taco is coming back this summer. So everyone that's a Choco Taco fan, like I am,
well, they must.
Here we go.
They must like you because you sure giving them a free advertising.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I just like them.
Yeah,
I don't remember seeing the name Nichols on there, but I didn't think, for some reason, I didn't think it was a Hostess product. See, I don't this
remember,
one that.
No, I don't remember that. There it is.
No.
But it wasn't, but that it didn't say.
Banana Dream. I don't
know. No, I don't know. But anyway. So.
Yeah.
But if you get it now, I'm quite sure is all that artificial stuff in there.
Oh, sure.
First Lady today. Yes. Today. What about the people we used to know, the people we used to know, or the ones that you used to know, the ones that, you know, kind of go back into our reservoir of history and think about before we became who we...
Not the people we used to know, the old people that we used to
that
be.
That we used
who,
to be.
Who we used to be.
Yeah.
Not people we knew, but
yes,
us.
Yeah, we've right.
been to them,
yeah.
the old us.
There you go. Yeah, thank you. Revisiting the old. Just like you talked about, I talked about the banana flips, how it used to be, how things...
Yeah, I used to love candy.
Yeah.
That's the old me. I used to love candy. I used to eat BB bats.
Who?
BB bats.
What?
BB bats.
What was that?
BB bats.
Never heard of them.
They were little like toffee, really, on a stick, and they were square. They were called BB bats, and they came in vanilla. They came in strawberry and they came in chocolate. And we used to get them down the street at the corner store and they were like 3 cents or something.
Never heard of that.
No.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, they were called BB bats. I used to love candy. Yeah, I forgot about the vanilla. You don't remember these? BB bats.
I don't think so. That looks like the slow poke that used to be on the stick.
Yeah, but these were small. They were this big.
No,
they were they really were little. No. And the slow poke was long.
Yeah,
but these were BB bats.
No, them and what's the ones not the Boston baked beans, the
burnt peanuts.
No, they were sugar babies.
Oh. Well, yeah, the sugar babies were the cousin to the sugar daddy. They were the same taste. Yes, the sugar daddy.
No, the sugar daddy was on the stick.
Yeah.
But the sugar babies were a little round.
I said they were the cousin. They were the babies to the daddy. They taste the same way.
No.
Yes, they did. Yeah. Listen.
What?
I was a candy cop.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah. Wow. I'll trust you.
I was a candy connoisseur. I used to love candy.
If I was to interview you, I'm not.
Okay.
If I was to interview you, what?
Sounds like the forerunner to an interview.
What?
If I was to.
Tell me about you.
Now you said if I was to, so that means I don't have to answer.
You don't.
Okay.
You know. So you can turn it on me. You know. Because now as I was thinking on, you know.
Ooh, I'm loving it.
Do we really represent what we used to be?
Do we represent what we used to be?
Do you represent what you used to be?
Well, I think that's really a 10-part question. What do you mean represent what you used to be?
Your makeup. I know we're perfected through Christ.
Right.
You know, but are you a representation?
Yeah, I think so. Because God just takes what you have and uses it for his good once you give your life to Christ.
And what was that? What did you have that he's using?
Determination. I was a very determined young woman, a very determined child. There was nothing that, if you told me I couldn't do something, that was like kryptonite to me.
Was that the one we was coming up? Was that like the dare when we was little? You know, was that, you know, the dare factor?
I guess in a sense, but I don't know that I really looked at it like a dare. It was just that if I was ever told, well, you can't do this, or you can't accomplish that, or you're not able to do this, that, in my mind, I was like, I can do whatever, because that's what my mom and dad always said. Mm. You know, you can do whatever you set your mind to do. That's what you can do. So that was kind of my mantra. Just for myself. I don't think I ever expressed it to anyone, mm-hmm. but that was just like the creed that I live by for me. That was the standard I set for myself. If someone told me I couldn't do something, I would figure out a way to do it. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily like a mischievous do something. Just say, somebody, oh, you can't play the piano. Mm-hmm. I'm like, watch. Mm-hmm. Yes, I can, you know. So I think that determination is what God uses the most in me, is that whenever I get to a point that or if something becomes a challenge for me in my spiritual life, that you can't do this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, I can. Now, I can flip it and say, but the scripture says, but because that was just my natural man, that's what I always did. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I always lean to the spiritual side and say, but the scripture says that. I just, that's the part of me that I brought over into my saved life, that it's like, I can do it.
And now, you know, something you was just, as you was talking, and I really thought about, mm-hmm. where when our kids, mm-hmm. and you would have conversation with them, mm-hmm. and you would tell them that what they were able to do, mm-hmm. you know. And sometimes when somebody says that to you, it's like, no, I really can't. But you're telling me that I can do something that I really can't, mm-hmm. you know. And so it sounds like that's where you got that from.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, I think that was just something that was personal for me that I mm-hmm. just carried through life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now that you bring it up, I'm sure I told the kids that over and mm-hmm. over and over, you know, mm-hmm. like get up and wash your face type of thing. It was just something I said all the time. It's like, no, you can do whatever you want to do. Don't say you can't do that. Whatever you want to do, you can do it.
And you're so passionate about it. It's mm-hmm. like, don't you limit yourself? Mm-hmm. And now some would think that was because you were told what you couldn't do. Sometimes people do things because sometimes people are driven to do things because they were told that they couldn't do.
But like I said, I think mine was
But yours was different.
Yeah, mine was more of the you know, like I said, parents always say, you can do whatever you know, whatever your heart's desire, whatever it is you want to do, you can do that. Try it. You know, don't say you can't. My stomach's growling. I am so hungry. I'm so hungry. I don't know if I can focus today. Well, I am hungry.
But let me tell you why. Because you started talking about that. What was it? That local choco taco.
No.
See,
I'm,
you had
I'm
to
hungry.
Stay with that. But you know.
Okay, wait a minute. I can do this. I can get through.
There you go.
Today.
See that? See that? Now. Now you went back.
I want some mean potatoes. I want mean potatoes so bad. I'm just hungry. But yeah, I think probably that would be the biggest thing that stands out to me, you know, without really thinking about that's part of, you know, my character. That is. What about you? What is the thing that you carried over from your before you were saved in your salvation? The thing that God can use in you.
Man.
Now we're not talking about spiritual
stuff. I was thinking about man, I was always I was always a leader.
Okay.
I was always a leader, but I didn't know. Now I'm more aware of it more than then. But people always wanted to be around me, hang around me. And matter of fact, I was told once this and that. I'll never forget it, but I was told from an adult that I was using my abilities in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was leading people wrong. And I never thought about that. But people would want to gravitate to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had the ability to always lead people.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, I was a loner. Does it make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
I could lead a lot of people and do things, but then I was by myself.
Okay.
Meaning that it was like I had two switches. Like I could engage and do things and have people doing things, but then I had the time where I was just off to myself. And really, I think I had some creative juices that I had going, which I didn't understand until I really matured.
Mm-hmm.
And some things would mess me up that I would think about, you know, why or how I did things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And so that was just, I was always like that, you know, and I was a magnet to people.
But you were, when you said you were a leader, what do you mean by I was always a leader?
I could get people together to do anything. If it was just, it was games, or I can remember when it was in grade school, you know, we had recess that we would go out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would always have through, what was it called? It was gym, you know.
And P.E.
P.E.
Physical education.
Yeah, physical education. And that came under President Kennedy when he was trying to get.
Ooh,
because there was.
Fine world went back.
Yes, because the children were so obese and they needed activity. It's the same thing now. Yeah. And so they President John F. Kennedy started something about getting people active and whatnot. And that, if you notice, that's when he started putting a lot of these jungle gyms and stuff on playgrounds.
Mm-mm, oh yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But anyway, that was before my time.
Watch it. But anyway, they would always want me to be a captain or something, you know, and people wanted to be on my team.
Ding, yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Watch it. But yeah. I didn't really know that until you get older, you know, and as you start reflecting, because I think we talk about things that motivates us,
mm-hmm.
and what motivated me was I always wanted to know how things was made and why we did what we, you know.
Why you did what you do.
You know, and I was always like.
Make it do what it do.
Yeah, you know, like how was something made? Yeah. And what was the reason for making it?
Yeah.
You know, and I would just sit and just think about that so much. And I was coming up and to be creative. And I always loved people. People Well, this is crazy. You asked me, my mind's racing now.
This is good.
I would find out how people were by the way they walked.
Oh.
I could tell people by the way they walked. Not, I mean, that's just something that.
That's deep.
Yeah. I would watch people walk. And I can tell you the type of person that they were.
Mm.
Yeah. And still, I could sit, you know, like when you go shopping, mm-hmm. oh, so many times. I love to sit and watch people. And I still do that.
I caught that.
Yeah, I know it.
I'm quick, too.
Yeah.
One thing about me, I listen real
you
well.
You had your catches mitt on.
Yeah, I listen real well.
And you know I'm what, man? Listener. This is crazy. This is really crazy. And this is really crazy. Because now you take me back to a place that I thought I had forgotten.
Oh.
And I can sit now and watch people walk. And it tells me something about them.
Wow.
Yeah.
But body language is powerful. Yeah. That's one thing, like, you know, we learned in psychology and stuff too, that your body language, you know, you can tell so many things. And then you have those people that study forensics and things like mm-hmm. that, you know, mm-hmm. That they, you know, study all of that in that too. But that's so powerful because it's interesting how we pick up things throughout life, and we don't necessarily know how we got it, why we do it or whatever. And because we're all made different, you know, and like you were saying, being a leader, I have to go back there because that's how I met you. On Tech Cod sure basketball did. Court, and you were the captain picking people.
And how did I?
And I walked in there with my hot pants on, but I walked in my Chuck Taylors, my white Chuck Taylors.
Now listen, I want you to know, just like a lot of you that are viewing this, you that have not been saved all your life, there is that beginning.
Well, wait. First lady, she did.
She wore her hot pants and the halter tops, and they think they're doing stuff.
Well, wait a minute. When I was playing basketball, I wasn't playing in no halter tops.
No, but I don't remember. Uh-uh. But I remember you did have hot pants on.
Yeah, but I had on a t-shirt and my white Chuck Taylors.
But did you want to play on my team?
No, I walked in the court wanting to play. I walked in the gym at Tech High. Mm-hmm. It was our action day in the summer. Mm-hmm. And I was wanting to play basketball because I loved basketball and mm-hmm. I was good. I was used to playing with the boys. Mm-hmm. And I walked in because I knew they were playing basketball.
With your Chuck Taylors on.
And you were standing there.
With my Chuck Taylors on?
No, Stacey Adams. God.
I tell you what kind of shoes I had on. I had a pair of.
Oh my goodness.
These are real. Kangaroo leather, high top, Stacy's.
I was like, who is this guy?
They were they was made out of kangaroo leather, the most softest leather that you can have. And
who does that?
Yeah.
Who stands in the middle of a basketball court with dress shoes on?
But did I have a team?
You have a team.
There you go.
And some of the guys I knew, so I was like, you know, I wanted to play with them.
I had the
team.
They
let me play. And then you turned around and you said, I pick her. And I'm like, okay, I don't know who he is, but I'm going to get in here on a good game.
And if I remember right, and I remember I didn't even play. I was just the captain.
No, you did not play.
Yeah,
you were just standing in the middle of the court.
That was too much sweating for me.
Feeding the ball to everyone. I'm like, where'd this guy come from?
I did not like sports.
Yeah.
But I like
but
the
you
concept
were a leader.
Of
like
a team.
You said, you were a leader. Yeah, you know. That day, that's what
and
you
I can tell you. And I can tell you how to play what to do.
Probably, but
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that was crazy. But it's interesting how we come, you know, how we pick up things in life or, you know, the things that, I don't know if saying attached to us is the right word or not, but how there's things in us.
Yeah.
And those things in us, like I said, I think once we get saved, God doesn't do away with who we are.
And that's the point. Yeah, that's that's the whole point.
Yeah, he just uses what we have.
Yeah.
And he uses it for the good.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like you say, your leadership ability, my determination ability, and then listening. I think one of my strengths are listening. I have a listening. I learned to listen, and I learned to listen.
Wait a minute. Wait. But you don't like to go fishing.
What's that?
Because when you go fishing, you listen to nature.
No.
You listen to the birds.
I ain't touching no slimy worms. I'm not touching that. The mud is slimy. The worms are slimy. The fish are slimy. No.
But you're listening to nature. That's
Now, I don't mind sitting there listening.
And isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm,
you can take in so much.
Yeah. No.
You're not talking about listening like that, right?
No.
Okay.
You know, I can listen because I can even hear God in that.
Yes.
But I'm not touching that stuff.
Isn't that how Jesus called his disciples?
He said he'd make them fishers of men.
There you go. But you said something, and this is what makes really being saved so wonderful and powerful, because there's not one clone.
No.
All of us are different with the same DNA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is what makes us different.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's one of the ability, because God has given me the ability to look at people and see the abilities that they have and pull it out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had that, but I didn't know what I had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when the adult told me that I was using my abilities in the wrong way, you know, and because believe it or not, even before salvation wasn't even in my in my view, you know.
But and that's what I was going to ask you. You know, the next question I was going to ask was, where were you at in life? In your life, what made you give your life to Christ? What was that thing? What was the straw that broke the camel's back? What was that, the last thing that you remember that happened to you in your life to make you say, I need a change, and this is the change I need, or I think I need?
Believe it or not, now this might be corny. Can I say this?
Corny.
This will be on one of the podcast platforms too.
Corny.
Let me say this. Because God is no respecter person. You were, God sent you into my life. And I didn't know really about that. You know how people say that somebody is a godsend. God used you to draw me in. Because what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be is 180 degree, totally different. 380 is always you come back to the same spot.
Right.
180 is when you turn to another position. And it came from meeting you and your family, because you had your Christian family, Christian background, and the God that you told me about and that you were so adamant is, first of all, I didn't believe it. First of all, I didn't believe it. But that's what was shown through me, you know. And there was a point in my life that, matter of fact, without saying any names, I'll say the name. I think God has called him home. There was an R&B artist called ZZ Hill, famous R&B artist. And I met him. We were at sports page in Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I met him. He was singing in a nightclub. I was there that night and he was singing. And this is crazy. Mm-mm. You know the name of the song that he was singing?
What's that?
That he recorded? And you could probably go to the and Google it and find it. The name of the song was The Turning Point.
Wow.
I'm at the turning point in my life.
Wow.
The club that got saved out of was called The Turning Point.
Wow.
Come on, connected that special.
You just brought something back up. His chauffeur was a school teacher. And wow. He chauffeured ZZ Hill around. Mm-hmm. Part-time. I wanted to be a chauffeur. And so I got with ZZ Hill's chauffeur. And we had built up relationship. Because my goal was I wanted to chauffeur known people. And that's what I wanted to do. So anyway, and again, you can look it up and you find that he's, you know, he was a famous R&B artist. And so anyway, that's what started me. And I wanted to be a chauffeur.
That's interesting. And I never knew that.
Didn't.
I've been married to you 40.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
And so to me, that was serving somebody. And I didn't know that even then I had a servant's heart.
Yeah, I knew. I always knew that.
But now.
I know that story about ZZ.
But now I'm. I've never. This is the first time I think I've ever said this in. And share this in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because I was a gambler, mm-hmm. and my goal was to be the best gambler. Now, gambling to me was a sport. It wasn't like, you know, I'm addicted. Mm-hmm. But gambling to me, because I want to be the best gambler, it was a sport to me, just like people play basketball mm-hmm. and all of these. Mine was learning about shooting craps and cards, really blackjack. I could have been in one of the blackjack tournaments. Yeah, because that was my goal. I focus. If you notice,
you could have been man, and we both like them.
Yeah, oh, I know. There you go. I missed my calling. Yeah, praise God, hallelujah. But yeah, but you know, you said something. God took the things that I had, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
When I got saved,
yeah,
it's like I'm doing the, because I am a preacher's helper. I love
you
to serve.
You definitely are, yes.
I love to take care of leaders.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, and that is so, wow.
Now, I think that's the common
ground. Get out of here. Yeah.
Helpers, servants.
Yeah. Yeah.
You yeah. know? Yeah. But you see how God can take two separate lives, two people from just.
Different background.
Totally different background.
Opposites.
Totally different everything and yeah. and just bring them together
yeah.
you know yeah. in the most
unusual
yeah way yeah. you know
yeah. Very
because again you know I couldn't play cards. The only thing we played was it 21 it wasn't spades what was it 21 solitaire
spades. Oh, well, yeah.
That's the only
yeah.
thing I knew how to play was solitaire. Mm-hmm. And then I learned how to play spades or whatever.
I didn't teach you poker or nothing like that?
No.
And then?
Well, yeah.
No. Yeah. But, you know, just, you know, and you knowing my background was, you know, that was my upbringing. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't saved all my life, you mm-hmm. know. And we went to our dances and parties and things like that and listened to our secular music. And my older sister and I, we're 17 months apart, and we used to do everything together, and we used to sew. Mm-hmm. And
I remember that.
Back then.
I remember that.
We used to have best dress contests and dance contests all at a dance. Mm-hmm. All at.
You're know, right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. so, but she and I made a pact between the two of us that we would never compete against each other because we're sisters. Mm. And we never, actually, all my sisters, we all made a pact that we would never do anything to compete against each other. That was just something we just thought was the worst thing that could ever happen. So we never compared each other. We don't even do our kids like that. We don't compare our kids. We don't, you know, do anything like that that's comparative, mm-hmm. because it just seems so destructive to mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. And so if she would get in the best dress contest, then I wouldn't. If I would, then she would, you know, and mm-hmm. we would sew our outfits and then we'd say, who's going to enter this, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. And we would do that at the dance a lot. And I think a couple of them, I think you might have been there. That's why you probably remember it, because it was, we did that.
I can remember, because I met you at 14. You was 14 years old. Mm-hmm. And I can remember coming over to your mom's house, and I can see the dining room. I can see the sewing machine, and y'all had patterns mm-hmm. laid out on the table, mm-hmm. and y'all had a billion pins,
straight pins.
I can see them patterns right now that y'all yeah. had cut out
yeah.
and was ready to sew, and the sewing machine. I want to see there was more than one.
There might have been two sewing machines.
Yeah, there was a white one. I remember the color white one
yeah.
that was on the table. And then there was one in the corner.
It was a black one.
Yeah.
Mom had an older Singer. And then we had a newer, I think it might have been a Singer too.
But y'all.
It was a white. It was called.
I remember.
But anyway, yeah.
I can remember them patterns on y'all dining room table. Mm-hmm. Let me switch it real quick.
Yep.
Do you still know that old person?
Yes, indeed.
So it's not really. She has not died, or is it just a remembrance there, or is she still alive?
It's both. There's still a remembrance, and she's still alive. It's just that when you get saved, the scripture tells us to choose you this day who you're going to serve, to choose life or death, to choose to do right or wrong. So this whole salvation is not, your salvation is not, what do I want to say? It's not, what's the word I want to use? When somebody makes, it's not under duress.
Yeah, it's not.
Salvation is
it's not forced.
It's not forced, and yeah. nobody puts you under duress.
Yeah.
It's a choice that you make.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do believe that sometimes when people come to Christ, they feel like they have no other choice. But
and that's not true, right?
Ultimately, it's the choice that you make.
Right.
So with that being said, is the old person, do I still remember the old person? Yeah, I just don't choose to do the bad things that I did. I choose to live right. I choose to please God the best I can.
So is the old person perfected? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become
Yeah, old
new.
Things are passed away, but are they perfected?
Yeah. Did God take who you are and perfected it now?
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
I believe
that God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, I believe it perfects us because it leads us and guides us. It talks to us. It tells us when we're wrong. It tells us when we're right. It chides us to do things. So, you know, with that, yeah.
Because, you know, the message that God gave me today, and when I studied, and I was studying about Peter,
mm-hmm.
and I think, how did I say that? I said, Peter is, he's a recovered liar.
Mm-hmm.
He's a recovered, he's been delivered from lying, and mm-hmm. and when he cut that servant's ear off, but you know, his profession, he was a fisher. So when he caught the fish, he had to learn how to fillet. So
now, but when you say that about being perfected, perfection is a work in action.
Correct.
because you just made me think of something when you brought that back up about Peter. That old person, if we don't tend to it always, it'll rise back up.
Sure.
Because the flesh is always there. It's at enmity with God.
Yes.
Something happened to me, not this past week, the week before. And I hadn't been mad, honestly. Ain't no need in trying to say upset, angry, whatever. I was purely mad. I have not been that mad in years.
Excuse me. Don't lose your thought. How do you spell pure D?
P-U-R-E, capital D, bold, underscore.
Oh, pure D. Okay. You got one of Pastor Clay's words now. Okay, pure D. Go ahead.
I was so mad. I was so mad that I could fight. I was so mad that I chose to speak out. The only thing I chose not to do was to cuss or fight, but I was that mad. So when you say that, is the old man, yeah, the old man is still there. Because I would fight. I'd get you back. I would cuss. I'd pick up something. But so it doesn't go away. It's what you choose to do with it when it rises up. I didn't choose to react the way I would have reacted before I got saved, but I reacted in a way that wasn't Christ-like too, because I was like, the thing that has helped me live saved is that I always say to myself, I am not going to repent to the devil. Because that's what the devil wants. He's an accuser of the brother.
Yes.
He wants us all to bring us down to his level, to where we have to repent to him. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody might say, well, you don't have to repent to the devil. No, but what you do have to repent for is the things that will make you or make someone stumble, you don't want people to stumble.
Yes.
And my reaction could have made somebody stumble, and that's what I don't want.
Well, this is what the Lord told Peter. He said, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith
faileth
not.
Right.
He never did pray for Peter not to go through the stuff. Right. Remember, Peter denied Jesus.
Right.
Jesus told Peter what he's going to do, and he said, no, I'm not that person. I'm not going to. And he did it. But Jesus said, and Peter, when you have been strengthened, strengthen your brother. And oftentimes, First Lady, that we know that the people that we used to be, that's who God uses.
Yes.
But you are being perfected. In other words, that the abilities that you have is now become saintly now because it's under the blood. If you take the qualities out of that, then what does God have to use?
Right.
You know, so that's why we're different, and we're spiritual beings in a fleshly body. So it's a reminder that we're in the flesh, you know.
Yes.
And as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm himself likewise. You know, Christ knew no sin, did no sin, but since we are that sinful nature, that's why we have to crucify our flesh daily. And so that some of the things of the old nature of me, and a matter of fact, this is a case in point. Have you ever, you know, just was looking for a radio station and went through and ran across a station that was playing some of the old songs? Even as I speak now, if you bring up a certain song, if you bring up the right song, in my mind, I can go back to a place or a situation that that song was playing in my life.
Yes.
And can't remember it.
Yeah.
Now, that don't mean I backslid.
No. And that, and you know, even sometimes, because I love, now I love music. I love all kinds of music. Mm-hmm. I love music. And I have listened to so much, so many different genres and everything else throughout my life. And like you said, if something come on the radio, I might find myself saying, yes, I'm happy. Oh. But that does that mean you sing?
No.
You know, but no. Because that's your,
no.
That's that human nature of you. It just, but it depends on how you indulge it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's not like those things are gone. I mean, I love music before I was saved, and I still love music.
Yeah.
Those things I heard back then or whatever, I can't unhear them.
Well, listen, it doesn't defile a man. Mm-hmm. See, this is a thing that the faith family struggles with and they fight with. Mm-hmm. You can't stop this. You cannot stop Satan from talking to you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You can't do it.
Right.
You cannot do it. You know? And it does not defile a person what goes in. It what comes out.
Right.
You know?
And again, that comes with choices.
Yes. Go ahead.
That goes with how you decide to handle.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So these things, I mean, God doesn't hold us under duress for anything.
Mm-mm.
But how we decide, because I chose to be saved, I want to be saved. I'm hell scared.
Yes.
I don't want to go to hell. Now, right. Most people are going to say, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell.
Yeah.
You know? And I do not want to go to hell.
And listen, you cannot find nowhere in scripture text the opposite of this. Be angry, but just don't sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of our nature. You can get angry.
Yeah.
But because you get angry, we think if you get angry, you got to sin.
Yeah.
God's too powerful for that. You can be angry and don't sin.
Yeah.
You were mad. Mm-hmm. You know, but you didn't sin. See what I'm saying?
So if
you want to just, you know, play.
I was hot in a pot of rice.
There you go. See, this is where the enemy tricks us.
Yeah.
Because while you're trying to fight in something that you cannot beat, something's going to aggravate you. Be angry, just don't sin.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, man, I'm hot.
Mm-hmm.
You ticked me off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, that old man's rising up. No, he ain't rising up. No. He's just mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now I can take my anger, and fix it to where I can lay you out, knowing to cuss you out.
Yeah.
And still tell you and put you in check.
Yeah.
God ain't never made us to be a floor mat to be walked on. No, the devil is a lie.
Yeah.
And some people, that's not biblically, they try to put guilt trips on people.
Yeah.
You know, oh, now you shouldn't feel like that. No, I'm telling you how I feel. Do you not know that even there's liars in the church?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't say they lie, but they're lying. How come I can't call them a liar?
You can.
You mean you two say that you
can't? Even the Lord said a liar won't tear in the sight, so how come we can't?
Oh, you shouldn't call people liars. If they're lying, they're lying. See, but that's that perfected old.
But even the scripture tells lie not to one another.
Wow.
Yes, there's liars. Yeah.
Got something. How much of that old nature did God allow you to keep?
Allow me to keep?
Yeah. How much of that old man did God allow you to keep? You keep that, but I'm going to get rid of this. How? And I know you probably don't have the.
I don't know. All I know is God made me new. And old things are passed away in the sense of they're not a desire of mine anymore. And the things that became new are the new desires that he gave me.
Yeah.
And my biggest desire is trying to please God. And that's my biggest desire. I desire to please the Lord because I don't desire to go to hell. I do want to go to heaven. But I'm more hell scared than I am heaven sick. I'm not trying to go to hell. I'm not people that push my buttons and things like that, things that try to lead me into temptation the wrong way, those things I run from. Because I don't want to go to hell.
And that's the very appearance of evil. You know, and this is what I share with people. I say, listen, God, we had a conversation. Somebody had brought it up. Conversation was like, what type of pastor am I? Am I contemporary or am I traditional? And what I tell people, well, whatever I am, God has sandpaper.
I know I am, but what are you?
I was about to say something else, but because of who we are, and God, this is why I take it in my small thinking. I look at God as a mechanic. And he has a toolbox with all of these different tools and sockets. So when God wants a 316, he doesn't go and get a 5/8. You might be the 5/8. I might be the 316. So if God wants a 3/8,
I can do this.
Yeah, there you go. He reaches and gets a 3/8 because you're that 3/8. If he wants a 16th, 11/16th,
I can do this.
He'll grab 11/16th. So because we are so different, whatever that he wants to use, he reaches in his toolbox and he gets that
tool. I'm really listening.
That fits.
Yeah.
And I think that, and so we're all different. That's why I am a stickler of don't try to. I'm gonna use an old term. If you whittle yourself away for everybody, whittling was, you know, old men would take a piece, a stick, they sit down someplace, you know, they talk, they have a knife. Older men always had a pocket knife. And they would take and they would just, you know, kind of shave the stick and whatnot. And if you whittle yourself away for everybody, when you get done, there's none left for yourself. So God wants you, God wants us, and he wants to use the abilities that we do have. He just perfects it. We're being perfected. Now the enemy will try to take you back and pull things and take you back in there. You cannot forget who you were.
Not at all.
And the Lord, that he, when we get saved, we are not brainwashed. I'm not brainwashed. I'm blood washed.
And sometimes it's good to look back on who you were to see how far God brought you from. You know, there are times when I say, oh, Lord, thank you. Because I was like this. I could have been. And, you know, sometimes have you ever looked back and say, you know what? If I hadn't gotten saved, I would have been doing this probably. I would have ended up there probably. And it scares you. And I'm like, man, thank you, Lord, for saving me, because he saved me from some stuff that I could have been into.
And that was your process. We talk about process. And we all been through a process and going through a process. We all been processed and we're going through. I don't know how much time we got left, but real.
No, I didn't.
Real quick, if just think about if there is somebody, whether they're male or female, young or old, and maybe they're in the same place, you know, mentally, spiritually, or physically. And if you were that mirror, what would you tell them? If you were the mirror in front of that young person or the old person, what would you tell them?
If they were in the same place that I was?
Yeah.
Before I got saved?
Yeah.
You're saying?
In the same place. Or in right now, God brought you out of. Mm-hmm. You have a past. We all have a past. Mm-hmm. We all have. There are things that God brought us through. Mm-hmm. And they're struggling now, you know, with the old nature. And maybe they said some things they shouldn't have said or did some things they shouldn't have did, went someplace they shouldn't have been. Mm-hmm. So they won't feel like that God is just going to throw them away because they've done something. Or like you said, you was angry. Mm-hmm. And you didn't cuss nobody out, but you was hot. Mm-hmm. What would you tell them?
I would just tell them, look at me. Just look at me, and I would share my testimony with them. Look at me. You're no different than I am. You know, the difference between me and you, I just want to do right now. And you just have to want to, you know. And is it easy? Not always. But is it possible? Oh, yeah, it's possible. You know, I've had good days. I've had bad days. I've had times where I've had to fight my way through. I've had times where I've been weak in the faith. I've had times where I've questioned God. I've had times where I say, God, why is it me again? Why do I have to be sick again? Lord, are you going to heal me this time? Lord, I know you brought me through this or that, but why am I here again seeking you for the same thing? Now I'm seeking you for healing again, you know? Lord, I'm tired. What am I doing something wrong? You know, and that's what I tell them. That's the human side of us, because we can't see God. We don't know the mind of God. We don't know what his plan is for us. So that's why we have to have that trust, and we have to learn how to rest in God. Is resting in God easy? Of course not. Because it's human nature. I'm sure you were taught the same way I were taught when it comes to this. Learn how to help yourself.
Yeah.
If you fall down, get up. Yeah. Don't lay there on the floor and say, somebody get me up. Mm-hmm. So we take matters into our own hands because that's human nature. Mm-hmm. Like now my stomach's growling. If I'm hungry, I'm not going to just sit there and say,
First Lady, food come. Stop. Now somebody's watching you or they listening, talking about, why don't he feed? Is why I had nothing to do with this.
Look at me. But you know, some things are just it's common sense. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. You don't have to be Einstein. You know, if you're hungry, get up and fix yourself something. So we're used to taking care of ourselves in that way. Mm-hmm. That's the natural part of mm-hmm. it. So when we should allow God to kick in. Sometimes we always don't because we're used to handling things ourselves. But we have to learn how to rest in God and trust God. And that's not always easy because we want to see. Mm-hmm. We want to know. We want to be reassured. You know, I trust in God for tomorrow. But when today is a disaster, we're trying to fix today so tomorrow won't be the same as
right.
today.
Yes.
It's easy yeah. for somebody to tell me, but tomorrow's not promised to you. Well, in my mind, I'm going to wake up tomorrow, you know. So let me try to get this fixed today so tomorrow doesn't look like this. So that's human yeah. nature. Yeah. That's who we are. That's the flesh that's always fighting against the spiritual
right.
man.
Right.
And when we get saved, the Lord just wants us to trust in him, trust right. in his plan.
Right.
Let right. him work those things out that right. we can't see, mm-hmm. those things that we can't handle. Mm-hmm. Let him work it out. But it's not always
because now we have hindsight because we know what God's able to do.
Sure.
You
but
know,
that's yeah. what I would tell,
yeah.
you know, that next
yeah.
person.
Yeah.
But I'd
yeah.
say, look at the outcome.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
If I can do it, you can do it.
We can do it. We yeah. can do it. We can do it.
You can do
it. How much time do you have?
Just a
minute. Okay.
I'm hungry.
Now listen, we're going to try to take care of that because First Lady is hungry and I had nothing to do with her being hungry. And
my Rice Krispie treat.
So, but this was good, and I can reflect you again. You brought some things out that I had totally thought about it. But watching people walk and stuff is just
that's good.
That's crazy stuff.
That's good.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff.
That's good.
And that wasn't a gift from heaven. I want to make that plain. I don't know where it come from, but now that God has given me the ability to pull out.
Things it wasn't a gift from heaven, but it was a gift from God. How do you like that?
Why don't you hold on for the next episode, Lord, to the same thing is coming, because that one needs to be dissected. Well, is it up to me to tell somebody mm-hmm. to where you ought to praise God for his deliverance mm-hmm. and don't fight your past. Mm-hmm. Your past really is giving you who you are. And if you had not had a past, you wouldn't live in the present, and your future would really be almost voided. Embrace what you've been through. Praise God for what he's doing, and thank God for your future looks much better than your past. And some of the things that what the devil meant for evil has really been a blessing to you. Mm-hmm. We are really helpers of one another, and we all got some horror stories, and praise be to God that all of us has things that that God has locked up in his closet mm-hmm. and he holds the key to it, mm-hmm. you know, so don't be hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. And like First Lady said, if you fall and get up, because the enemy is an accuser of the brethren. Mm-hmm. He's trying to hold you and accuse you of things to keep you from reaching Jesus. Mm-hmm. So thank God for your past. And then as you get older, you know, you start changing mentally. You know, normally you have about four different stages of your life. Mm-hmm. You get to your 20s, you live in that. You get to your 40s, you live that. You get to your 50s, you live that. Then when you get to be a senior, you live that. And all of these different areas, you have a different take on life. Mm-hmm. But if it had not been for what you have went through in your life, you really wouldn't have been a blessing to somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's what I was going to say, you know, to the things that you have gone through, your experiences are your testimony to somebody else. Yeah. If God allowed you to get through them, no matter how horrific they may be.
Yeah.
And you found God, that's your testimony. Yeah. That's you helping someone else through.
Yeah.
Because we're always going to cross paths with someone.
Yes.
Who's been through something that we have been through.
Yes.
And the scripture says that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And those witnesses are you and I. Mm. Those witnesses are the things that God has brought us through. And because we are still here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our testimonies are to help somebody else be strong and make it.
And you wasn't some of your witnesses all your saintly grandmother, grandfather, your pastor, first lady. And these are not accidents. These people did not just stumble up in your life, but God has placed people in your life for your betterment and not your betterment. That being the case, First Lady.
Chatting with the clay.
Your betterment, not your betterment.
That's what I said.
Your betterment
and not your bitterment.
There you go.
You know, God wants you better and he does not want you bitter. So it's for your betterment and not your bitterment. First Lady, you hit it out the park on Chatting with the Clays.
Great still.
God bless.
Until the next episode. Let's continue to pray for our country.
Pray for Jerusalem.
Pray for Jerusalem.
The peace of Jerusalem. Yeah.